I saw Josh smiling over here at what I assume Xander and Taylor. It's amazing to me. I'm jealous. The fact that they over here and they're doing this whole clapping thing. They're like hand motions, and I'm barely able to keep a beat. If Josh doesn't clap, I can't. I got nobody to watch and follow. I tried to get Dylan in the corner of my eye, but he was passing offering, so he came in late. But otherwise, I can't keep a beat, so let alone to do an emotion. And then you guys paused at the right time. It was impressive. Next time, I'm saying you guys up here with Josh. And
oh, yeah.
So I said in my Sunday school class that I hope I never have another 13 weeks of teaching like I've just gone through, from knee surgery to my dad in the hospital and losing my dad. It's been a little stressful trying to go through things. But with that said, when dad was in the hospital, what better time to go over my lessons for Sunday school and go over class? And we did that, and unfortunately, when he was on the ventilator, he never commented back, so I could never tell if my stuff was good or not. But we went over a lot of different things. And one of the things that we talked about a lot, actually prior to him even going in the hospital, from my potential, the living up to your potential class that we just had, was, and Dave brought it up in Dad's funeral, was John 1:16 and 17. And it says, and of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And then continuing on in 17, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And I love where it says grace and truth. And Dad and I had a lot of discussions about that verse when we were coming up to our potential, and understanding that if we were going to reach our full potential, then we have to be honest and truthful with ourselves. We also have to give ourselves grace when we fall short, and not hold ourselves to some unrealistic expectation to where we're setting ourselves up for failure. But we need to set goals that take work to achieve. With that said, we're going to be talking about being bold in our faith, being bold in our grace, and being bold in our prayer. I was talking to Tony and Melissa on the way in. Tomorrow night we start baseball practice, and I'm excited about that. But it's also been difficult for me for the last, and I have no idea why, but it is what it is. But this, I realized Friday that this will be my first baseball season of my life. My dad won't be around, and that's difficult for me. And Friday night we were over at Josh and Lisa's, and I was talking about that. And we were watching the ball game together, Miami game. And I said, I love sitting down with Dad watching games. And I was talking, and I said something, and I said, see, like right here. I'd turn around, and I remember telling Josh, I said, see, right here in this situation, I'd tell Dad, this is what this guy needs to do. And very next pitch, the pitcher did exactly what I said, and Josh just laughed. And Isaiah and I were talking about that. He goes, how'd you know that? I said, all the years that Grandpa taught me, I said, I started learning and watching, and now you got to learn to watch. And today, we were sitting over at Grandma and Grandpa's, and he's over there smiling and laughing because he knows what I'm going to say. Today, we were sitting over at Grandma and Grandpa's, and this guy from Miami was up to bat, and he goes, I don't know, Dad. He goes, he's going to walk him. And I said, yeah. I said, but this next pitch, I said, they won't give it to him on the next pitch. And so the next pitch was a strike, and I said, now the last thing this pitcher is going to want to do is pitch it right there. And I pointed at the screen, and Isaiah says, if he pitches it there, this guy's going to hit a home run. I said, you think? He goes, oh, yeah. Pitch came right in there. The Miami guy hit a home run. And Isaiah goes, I knew it. And I was excited. And I thought, it was funny because I remember, and bear with me, I do have a point behind this whole story. But I remember when I was little and watching things with my dad and seeing different things with my dad and him teaching me and coaching me in sports. And there were times that you were like, how did he know that? That's amazing. And I've said in the potential class, one of my biggest pet peeves in this world is when we talk about God works in mysterious ways. Well, if you're a Christian and you read the Bible, it's not mysterious. He tells us how he's going to act and do. He tells us what he's going to do. But we, as being ignorant and not knowing they're not respecting or understanding his power and his knowledge and his ability, which is of all, then we cut God's ability short. And we have that as a parent, as a father myself, I have that same responsibility to help teach my kids. So yeah, they're gonna look at me and they're like, wow, that was mysterious. How'd you know how to do that? Well, but it took study, it took practice, it took work, it took understanding. Our Father puts us in situations that we can handle as well. So when we see them coming at us, we know how to handle it. He gives us situations so when we look around and we see different things happening, we know who to reach out to and grab and hold on to and help and ask for help. The problem is, too often, we just say, oh, I'm just going to take a guess, because we don't want to put the work in to actually find out the answer. Or we say, it's not that important, I'll let this one slide. Or I don't want to ask, or I don't want to bother. That's always my favorite. I don't want to bother somebody to ask for help. And it's taken me a long time to realize, you know what? You're not bothering somebody by asking them for help. By not asking them for help, you're denying them the possibility of a blessing. And too many times as Christians, we think, oh, I need to do this or I need to do that. Okay, maybe you do, but you've got a bunch of people that want to be there to help you out with it. And some of this who are in my Sunday school class, some of it may sound repetitive, which is fine. As far as reaching our potential, because our faith, our grace, and prayer have direct correlation to reaching our potential as a Christian, reaching our potential as a person. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. I'll read that one more time. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. An inheritance is kept in heaven for you. And Christianity, in the Bible, hope is not wishful thinking, but it's firm conviction, which is secured through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That hope is confirmed in Jesus Christ and looks toward the future, that we too, as Christians, being reborn through the watery grave of baptism, will also be resurrected with him in heaven. Jesus did not die like the Pharaoh so that men could uplift him to be like a god. No, Jesus did not have to die like Buddha to be recognized as the leader of our religion. Jesus conquered the grave not to become God, but to prove that he was God, and not death nor anything had power over him as the creator himself. If we're going to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we also need to accept him as our Creator. And too many times, we put faith in the salvation part, but not faith in the Creator part. I'm not saying that we don't recognize it, but what I'm saying is we put our faith that he overcame the grave, which is great, but he also created us in his image, which we learn about and we read in Genesis. We were created in his image. By being created in God's image, we instantly are born into a legacy that we have to live up to. We instantly have an example that was given to us that we are to achieve. Yes, we can overconquer the grave, believe it or not, through Jesus Christ, through the one who created us, because he created us in his image. So we too will have that ability through him. But we aren't going to be able to do this on our own, absolutely not. But we certainly can do it. Are we bold in our faith to believe that this has been given to us? Truly to us. Make it personal. I don't think we make it personal enough. I think many times we look at Christ came to this earth to die for all humans. Yes, he did. True statement. Now say, Christ came to this earth to die for me. Also a true statement. We generalize it too many times because we don't want to sound selfish, I think. We don't want to sound greedy. We don't want to sound needy. We don't want to sound hopeless individually. I need Christ. And in my faith, I need to say, I need Christ. I need to be true with my faith and say that it's through Christ that I can overcome this. I need to, if I'm going to say, through Christ I can overcome this, then I need to use his body to overcome these things. We look at where Christ says, or where it says, through Christ, all things are possible. We look at it and say, well, that's a lot put on my plate. It is a lot to be put on your plate individually. But if we can do it through Christ, then we should use his body, which is here at the church. Do we put our faith in the church? Do we put our faith in our fellow brother and sisters? That's a lot of faith. Or do we say, we use the cop-out. I don't want to bother them. Are we honest with ourselves? Are we bold in our faith? The story of Jesus walking on the water, Matthew chapter 14. Well, we're going to start in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get out of the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind that was blowing against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "then tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked out on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began sinking and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. He says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed back in the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiping him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." We can look at this story in several different ways where Jesus calls Peter out and says, "Ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" You got to be bold in your faith. Peter started out bold. Peter said, "Call to me and bring me out on the water with you." But then he let the world distract him. Do we let the world distract us and our faith and our walk? Do we let things take our mind and our focus off of what our goal really is? Are we bold in our questions that we ask for in Christ? How many of us sitting in a boat, and I understand Jesus isn't here at this time, but how many of us sitting in a boat and seeing this, would we have said, "Jesus will call me out to you"? And we've all heard Peter got out of the boat and the others sat in there and they hid. He did. Would you hide? I probably would. This isn't something that's normal. I'd probably be scared too. We talked about this morning in class what we're told that can happen with just a mustard seed size of faith. We can move mountains. And I asked the class this morning, what does that say about us? What does it say about me? Ask yourself that question. If a mustard seed size of faith can move mountains, I lack quite greatly. If Peter is willing to ask Jesus to call him out onto the water so he can walk across water, something that man is not supposed to do, where is my faith at? What am I willing to ask Jesus to call me to do? Are we afraid of what we might get called to do? Is that why we don't ask? Are we afraid of the task that may be put before us, that it could be scary and that we might be out there alone? Because we don't look at Jesus? You know, the movie I, Robot, there's a line in there for anybody who's seen I, Robot. I like the movie with Will Smith. And they're talking about the one robot who is different than all the others. And she says, "A robot can't do that. That would just be like a human walking on water." And Will Smith turns around and he says, "Well, you know, there was this one guy." And I always look at that and I said, actually, there were two guys. There was the one guy that could do it, and there was the one that guy that did it because of the other guy. We like to look at the one guy, but we don't want to be the other guy. We're afraid to be the other guy. And that scares me because that has been what we have been tasked to do as Christians, is to be the other guy. And we fail.
I fail.
I fail miserably. I'm not bold enough in my faith to cry out to God, lead me in the direction you want me to go, and then go. I look for, that can't be what he meant, because this is pretty crazy over here. Well, maybe that's exactly what he meant. Maybe I got to go get involved in the crazy. And that's what scares me more than anything else, as I look back in my life and I think to myself, and I think most people here would probably agree, when the Lord puts something in front of me of a task and I look at it as crazy, I'm usually the person that thrives in crazy. What does that say about me when I talk about, and I take pride in the fact that I thrive in weirdness or craziness or whatever, boldness, and then I'm unwilling to do something myself? When he got back in the boat, the others started worshiping him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. How many things do we need in our life to prove to us Jesus lives? That Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus overcame the grave. How many things do we need in our life before we don't just admit it, but we actually live it? Because there's a big difference in our lives with just saying, yes, that's happened, and then actually believing it and living it. Are we bold in our faith? Are we bold in grace? Luke chapter 8, verse 45 through 48 says, and Jesus said, who was that touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you, are pressing all over you. But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceived that power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she has been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She was scared that Jesus was going to be mad, because her faith in just touching Jesus healed her. She was scared that Jesus was going to be mad. Jesus had so much love and grace that he wanted to heal her through his power. Do we reach out with that faith so that we can receive that grace? Are we bold in our grace that we ask for? We all like to quote the verse in Corinthians when Paul says, shall we sin so that grace may abound? Absolutely not. And we shouldn't. We shouldn't sin so that grace may abound. We don't keep doing things because we have grace. We have grace because we keep doing stupid things. It's the greatest thing to take advantage of without trying to take advantage of. And we need to take advantage of it. And that seems like it doesn't make sense. But if you just think about it for a second, I want to take advantage of grace. I hope everybody here wants to take advantage of grace. But don't try to take advantage of grace. Let grace take advantage of you. Are we bold in the grace that we ask for? When we fall short, are we honest enough to admit that we've failed? And we ask for that grace because of Jesus Christ, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we can receive that grace. And then now I'm going to challenge you one step further. Do you give it in the same response? Do you give that grace with that same love and generosity that you want it to be given to you with? When people ask for your grace, do you give it back to them with love because of their faith in Christ who has given it to you? That's challenging. That's difficult. That's not an easy thing to do, especially if you're the one that's been wronged. Mike Shuckle brought up this morning about the grace and the love that Christ was willing to show on the cross to those who were around him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if those soldiers who put the nails through Christ's hands and his feet were to repent and be baptized to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, then they too shall be saved through the same one that they crucified. That's grace. Christ died for them. When you're willing to ask for that grace, be bold in asking, but be bold in giving. Be bold in that same faith to give what you have asked for. Mark 12, 29 through 31 says, "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." If we put faith in Jesus and we ask Jesus for grace, then it's that same grace that we need to give to our neighbors. That same love, passion, and grace that we need to give to each other to help build each other up, to help support each other, to be the body of Christ that we are supposed to be and work together so we can accomplish great things. We talked about in the high school class on Wednesday, the Tower of Babel, and how they came together to build this great tower, but they came together to do it. And that's what we focused on. What can we do when we decide to work together? If we have just the faith of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. What could we do collectively with the faith in this room? Or do we not even have that of a mustard seed because we're afraid to move a mountain? Are we afraid of the challenge because of the faith it requires? The faith that we have, that we have seen, just to touch Jesus or see Jesus, just to be in the presence of Jesus. Luke 19, 1 through 10, the story of Zacchaeus, where starting in verse 1 in chapter 19, Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Nobody liked him. Nobody liked tax collectors. He wanted to see Jesus, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. He put himself in the position through his faith just to see Christ, just to see Jesus. He had so much faith in the power that Jesus had that he wanted to see him so bad, he put himself in position to see Jesus. Are we willing to put ourselves in position to see Jesus? We would certainly say, absolutely, why would we not want to be in a position to see Jesus? The announcement was made this morning, and I am 100% guilty, and I will stand here and admit I am guilty of it as well. Josh, do you still have openings on your list for the youth rally? Why are we not trying to see Jesus? We have an opportunity to go out and climb a tree and see Jesus. Why are there still places to be signed up for to go see Jesus? And again, I'll be the first one to say, I'm guilty. I didn't sign up myself. We say that we want these opportunities, but when they come, well, that's not my thing. Or I'll wait for other people to do it. Or I'll see what happens later on down the road. I'm pretty sure that the youth rally has been in the bulletin since the beginning of the year. Shame on us for not making plans appropriately to see Jesus. Where does our faith lie in seeing Jesus? When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly, and all the people saw that, and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus came to save me. If climbing a tree had this big of an impact on not just Zacchaeus, but we see the people around him and how it impacted the people around him, what kind of an impact can we have on people? We need to be bold in the actions that we take. Jesus was willing to give him grace because today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Jesus wanted to give him grace. We need to be bold in our prayers. We need to be bold in our actions. Too many times we get, and we all have it, prayer language, the way that we say things when we're up here giving prayer before the congregation, and that's fine. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. And there's certain times and places for certain prayers, and I understand that as well. But do we truly get bold with our prayers and ask for what we want to ask for? It was answered to me, why would we not? Because why, Gabby? Why shouldn't we be bold? God already knows. So who are we trying to lie to then? Are we just lying to ourselves and trying to kid ourselves? Are we not bold in the things that we ask for? Because maybe we're afraid we're going to get them. I've read through the Bible a few different times. I've not seen where it says that it is a sin to be financially wealthy. The love of money is the root of all evil. But I'm not, George, am I wrong? Okay. Just wanted to clarify with one of the elders before I kept going. But we don't, well, I can't pray for wealth. That's craziness. No, you might be afraid of what God's going to ask you to do to get it, or you might be afraid of what the wealth is that you're praying for may not be, or the wealth that God gives you may not be the wealth that you thought you were asking for. Store up for us treasures in heaven, not here on earth. We talked about that at the beginning. Where is our wealth? Where do we put our wealth? And if God so blesses us financially, then great. But don't be afraid to pray for your wealth. But when he answers you the way he wants to answer you, take it. Don't be afraid to take it. It might be crazy that you got to go do. That's okay. Because if you've got boldness in your faith, then you should be willing to take that on. Be bold in our prayers. Even David, in the Psalms we read where David wants to not just kill his enemies, but David wants his enemies destroyed through the gnashing of teeth. That seems like pretty harsh. I'm just saying. That seems pretty harsh. And David was considered a man after God's own heart. I'm not saying that we need to pray. We're told to pray for our enemies. I don't think that's necessarily what God had in Jesus was speaking about in that sense. But are we bold with what we're praying for? Because he already knows. Maybe we always will say things along the lines of, oh, I can't believe this hasn't happened yet. Well, have you asked for it? Well, that's crazy to ask for it. Well, you have not because you asked not. Maybe God isn't delivering on your prayers because you aren't honest with yourself to ask for what you should be asking for. Or you aren't honest enough with yourself to say, I'm not doing what I should be doing. Therefore, you don't want to ask for these things that you want to ask for because you know you don't technically deserve them. You know that your faith has fallen short. Therefore, your prayers will too. And that's a scary thing to think about. Ye of little faith. In Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, they were struck dead. They were struck dead, and too many times we focus on, well, they didn't give everything they had. They weren't asked to give everything they had. They were asked to be honest about what they gave. I'm blaming you, Hal. I know it's not you, but I'm blaming you. I'm just saying. That wasn't even James Earl Jones, man. Like, that wasn't even like the presence of Doug from the sound booth this morning. I'm just saying. Like, I love you, Hal. God didn't strike down Ananias and Sapphira because they didn't give everything that they had over to the church. God struck down Ananias and Sapphira through Peter because they lied about what they gave. They wanted the recognition for giving all when they hadn't. And this morning we talked about this song, I Surrender All. All means all. Be honest with God. He already knows. So be honest with yourself. Don't shortchange yourself because you don't want to admit something to yourself. God already knows. Who else are you hiding it from? And here's what's great. Through Jesus Christ, he wants to forgive you if you do fall short. If you are honest because of something that you've done wrong, he wants to forgive you for it. He wants to give you the grace to overcome it. He wants to restore your faith in him. So be bold in your prayer and strong in your faith and loving with your grace because Christ has for you. Acts chapter 27, verse 10. We hit this verse this morning in class also. Cut your anchors and commit to the sea. Cut your anchors and commit to the sea. I love that verse because, A, I like water, and I think it's a cool verse. But how many times are we willing to truly cut our anchor and go? We always like to just, well, I'll cut my anchor, but I'm going to keep the rope tied to the dock, just in case. Just in case. I'll let out a little bit more slack as we get going, as I watch to make sure that we're doing okay. What kind of commitment is that? What kind of commitment is that? Could you imagine if you got married and you're like, okay, this whole living together thing, I'll give you 4 days a week. You know, the other couple days, I'm keeping my options open. Adam apparently thought that was pretty funny. Now, there are times though I think my wife would prefer me to be gone 3 to 4 days of the week, but what are you nodding at, Hal? Anyway, there's a reason why neither one of our wives went to CCYC with us last year. I'm just saying. If we're going to be committed to something, be committed to it. And what better thing to be committed to than Christ? Cut your anchor and commit. Quit trying to hold on to the world back here. Don't even have a rearview mirror up. Take off and go. Take off and go. Be bold in your adventure. Be bold in your faith. Be bold in your prayers. Be bold in your faith. You know, I said, you don't even have a rearview mirror. The other day, a customer came in and she rented a moving truck from us. She rented a moving truck and she goes out and Jenny does a walk around with her and does the inspection on everything. We're talking a box truck, okay? Just keep this in mind. She comes back in, or Jenny comes back in the store. Lady, she comes back in just mad as can be. She pulls up to the front door just mad. She goes, how am I supposed to drive this thing? And like, you think, well, should have thought about that before you were renting it. But anyway, Jenny says, well, what seems to be the problem? She goes, I don't have a rearview mirror. And yes, unfortunately, we had to point out to her, if you look through the back of your vehicle, you won't see anything besides a big box. A rearview mirror is not going to do anything for you. But isn't that the truth in our own life? We're afraid to go forward because I gotta keep looking at what's behind me. I'm afraid to go forward because I don't know what could be behind me. Cut your anchors and commit to the sea. In closing, I got my papers mixed up. Put them in a different order now. In closing, I'll say this. And I'm sorry if I repeat for anybody who was in my class this morning or last week, but last Saturday was one of the toughest days of my life. But what an awesome thing to do is to come here and see Jesus. And watching the body of Christ work last week and show the example out to so many people who are lost, because the people here, all of you, are bold in your prayers, you're bold in your faith, and you're bold in your grace. And we showed people who've never heard of him who Jesus is, because we were bold. I'd never been so sad and beaming with happiness all at the same time, because I got to see Jesus work in the most amazing ways. Be bold in what we do. Be bold in our walk with Christ. And I'll close with prayer. This is Josh, I don't know if you want to make your way up, but we'll close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come to you, to learn from you, to see the example that you gave and the grace that you showed others, the love and mercy that you showed to us. The times that we fail, the times that we come up short in our faith, but you still reach your hand out to show us the way. Knowing that you will never leave us behind as long as we commit to you. When you ask us to follow, we cut our anchors and we follow and we commit to you. We commit to your walk because we've seen you walk it in front of us before and set the example for us, and it is now our time to follow. And we hopefully can live up to the reputation that you gave to us. Lord, we thank you for the boldness in your actions that gives us salvation through you. And Lord, it's through you that we have treasures in heaven that we can receive one day through your inheritance. Lord, thank you for giving us the name Christian. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be with you. And it's in your name we do pray. Amen.